Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Hopefully you've been able to enjoy this past week with families and friends, being able to just enjoy the celebration of Jesus' birth, what that means for us and the hope that we have because of that. My family with four kids, you know, Christmas is a special time. A lot of magic happens on Christmas morning. My kids got a hoverboard for Christmas, which means Dad got a hoverboard for Christmas. I think those things are pretty sweet. I don't know if you've ever been on them, but that's a lot of fun. My kids also were extra generous this year and got the whole family sick. And so I'm going to do my best this morning to not cough up a lung. If I do, I apologize. But thanks for joining us today as we ring out the year and also our sermon series that we've titled The Heart of Christmas. And we've been looking at the story of Christmas by looking at the people that played a big part in that Christmas story, Mary and Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds. And we're going to finish our look at the heart of Christmas and those people by looking again at Mary. Luke chapter 2, there are two occurrences where Mary, she has an opportunity to pause and reflect with everything that's happened and treasure up some things in her heart. And so we're going to do that with her a little bit. We're going to take another look. There's something special about the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's to be able to look at a person like Mary as we both look back and we look forward. Our society often pushes us to look forward at this time of the year around New Year's resolutions. Anybody already started working on theirs or goals for next year, wanting to maybe lose some weight? I may be part of that. As a church, we're looking forward to that as well. What does 2024 have to offer? Where is God leading? Our church finances have obviously been a big part of that. We celebrate the fact that we've already met our giving goal. We've already met our budget. Next year, we want to be able to meet that even earlier. And so we celebrate that. We look forward to what God is going to do. Our culture also provides some unique ways to look back at 2023. You'll see compilations on TV. One of the things that really caught my attention this past year is something called Spotify Wrapped. Raise your hand if you got caught up in Spotify Wrapped this year. If you listen to Spotify, then what happens in early December is Spotify sends you this thing called Wrapped, which shows your listening history for all of the previous year, how much total time you've listened to Spotify, your top artists, the trends in your listening history throughout the year. I mean, it's fascinating. When I was looking through my Spotify Wrapped, I'm like, who was I back at the first quarter of the year? I don't even remember any of these things that I was listening to. So many things have changed. There's a unique way that my family also chooses to look back, and it's something that my sister helps orchestrate. She puts together a shared folder that she gives us to us at Christmas. We actually already have the shared folder for next year, but she gives us a shared folder, or just a digital place that we can put all of our videos that we take throughout the course of the year at soccer games and church musicals and all that kind of thing. We put those in to the share folder, and throughout the year, she is curating a family highlight video that we get to watch when we gather for Christmas. It's something we look forward to every year. She's been doing it for 4 or 5 years or so. When we first started, it was around a 5-minute video. 2 weeks ago when we gathered, it was 45 minutes. 45 minutes. It's hard to scrub out all of the fun experiences and the special moments that you may or may not have been able to be a part of. You see the growth in your kids, new kids showing up, and it's a special time to enjoy as a family. As we were watching that video, there was something that I noticed in the video. It was actually a video that I put in the shared folder. And it was a huge moment in the life of my wife and I and our family this past year, but I had forgotten about it. I think that's surprising. I'd forgotten about it, and I want to share that a little bit with you. So rewind to March. Early on in March, my wife and I are on a Friday morning, and there were storms rolling through the area. And so we were in our living room, and the sirens go off. And about the same time the sirens go off, we see some fairly large branches in our backyard hit the ground. And so then I walk outside, like, I wonder what's going on out here. And this is what I see. This is what I see. That's a 100-foot tulip poplar tree that is trying to play dominoes with another 100-foot tulip poplar tree, both of which are about 15 feet or less from the house. The only reason that the tree that you can see didn't take down the other tree, you can maybe see it, there's a zip line attached to the second tree. And it's attached to that tree and to another tree off screen. I am very proud of the fact that the zip line held up that tree, okay? For safety reasons, I did what I was supposed to do. Oh, my honey, you should be proud of me. But that zip line held it up just long enough for us to come out and be like, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? It's gonna hit the house. So one of the first things I did is I called my next door neighbor to make sure that he wasn't anywhere in the area because those trees were gonna go through the fence and onto his property. And as I'm talking to him, he asked me, he's like, hey, do you have a tree guy? Like, no, I don't have a tree guy. He gave me a name and a contact number for a guy that lived only like a mile or two up the road. And when he shows up, this is no tree guy, it's just a single guy, but he's not a tree guy, he's a tree ninja. Tree ninja, you know what I'm talking about when I say a tree ninja? This is a guy that doesn't get up in a bucket. This is a guy that climbs up in a harness. He climbs up in it and he has all different kinds of equipment to make it happen. And this is the kind of guy that I needed. And within 15 minutes, he shows up. And he begins to assess the situation. Those two trees that are leaning, he begins to tie those off to other trees that are on the side of the house. And we do our very, very best. We eventually cut the zip line. Okay, don't cry. We got a new one for Christmas. I got to figure out what trees to put it on now. And then we waited. And we didn't have to wait very long. Less than 5 minutes later, this happens. That's my wife. That's my wife. It was just unbelievable. Managed not to hit the house. And we ultimately had to take down the other two trees as well, but these huge trees didn't hit the house. No damage whatsoever. If you look at it from this angle, it didn't even hit the patio. Didn't even hit. No damage. And so after adrenaline like finally settles, later on that day, we're like, well, now what are we going to do? I mean, is this going to be our project throughout all of 2023 is cleaning up these trees and cleaning up the yard? And so I made some phone calls, and those people made some calls. This is all taking place on a Friday. Saturday morning shows up, and we have a whole army of people that show up to begin helping clean up the debris. This is a picture of that. Look at the progress that's already been made. I mean, they were hauling stuff off, cutting it up. We had more chainsaws than we had hands. I mean, it was just unbelievable expression. We had a lot of people that showed up to be supervisors. Here's one of those supervisors. Caught him on the job. I'm going to regret that. I know that, okay? Phil's not here today. And in fact, Phil was one of the first people, I think the first person I called, and he was instrumental in contacting so many of the others that showed up that day. And so we were able to clean it up and just grateful. The thing was, you may have seen one of the pictures. My wife was 8 months pregnant. At the time, this guy showed up 10 days later. 10 days later. Rewind the tape. What happens? What happens if the zip line isn't there, or it doesn't hold, or when I get a tree guy, he can't come out, or he's not able to tie it off, and the trees end up coming through my house, and we're displaced as we welcome our fourth kid? I mean, can you imagine how different things would be? And so I mention all of that to say, when I'm watching the highlight video with my family, I had forgotten it all. I'd moved on. Because when I look in my backyard now, the holes are filled, the debris is gone, grass is growing, kind of. Grass is growing, you know, and you move about your life. You just move about your life. There's something about being human that I find, maybe you do too, that makes it hard to remember. It makes it hard to count our blessings. It's hard to remember what we don't think about. And it's hard to be thankful for what we don't remember. And that's why I think December 31st is such a unique time, because today is the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's where we get to do both. We get to look back and look forward. And it's because we look back and see all the ways that God has shown up that we can look forward with hope and opportunity. And I think that's exactly where we find Mary. When we find her in the text that we're about ready to look at in Luke chapter 2, she's in between two things. One is the unbelievable circumstances around the birth of her son. She's between that and then all the expectation and hope for what that son is going to mean for her, for her family, for her nation, and for all of mankind. And so I think it's appropriate to look once again at Mary's story on this Sunday when we are looking back and looking forward so that we can make sure that what we'll find is to treasure up some of the things that we have seen God doing. So I would encourage you to open up your Bible or a device, Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. And let me set the context a little bit for us. So as we get into verse 16, the shepherds have been out with their flocks in the fields by night. The angels have shown up, and they are now heading to visit and find Jesus in the manger. So we'll pick it up there in Luke chapter 2, verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And here it is. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. I think the first thing we have to do when we look at that, when we look at Mary pondering and treasuring and reflecting, we have to define what ponder is, because I don't know about you, but that's not a word that I use in my daily vocabulary. So there are a couple of different ways that I'm going to try to define it for us today that I think will be helpful. The first is this: to ponder is to wonder at a deep level. To wonder at a deep level. Another way to define it is to preserve, like a scrapbook, like a mental scrapbook. So when Mary is pondering and reflecting, treasuring all these things up, she's putting all the pieces together in her head. She's making sure that she doesn't fit, she's not forgetting. She's fitting together all the pieces to have the narrative that she can reflect on and remember down the road. Another way to describe it, to ponder, is to give God your full attention. To give God your full attention. So I think it's important for us to ask, what was Mary treasuring? When she's sitting there alone, quiet, taking some time to ponder and to think, what was she treasuring? And there are lots of things that that we could think about her spending time thinking about and enjoying and appreciating. But there are a few that I want to bring to our attention this morning. They all start with the letter P. If you're a note taker, that may be helpful to you. Here's the first. What was Mary treasuring? I think one of the things that she was treasuring was God's presence. God's presence. I mean, when we think about Emmanuel, God with us, we're thinking typically from our 21st century context, God being with us, God moving into the neighborhood, which is an extremely special thing. But think about it from Mary's context. I mean, for the whole Jewish people, God had been silent. And then God not only begins to speak, but God shows up. And it's not just any showing up. I mean, it's the baby in her arms. That's just unbelievable to think about. That's God showing up and being present with her in the form of a baby, in the form of a baby. We think of God's presence as this thing that we celebrate already this morning, and it is, but she was able to experience it at a whole nother level of specialness, and I think she was appreciating that, treasuring that up. What does it mean for God not just to be with us, but to be with me? And for us this morning, we can appreciate that as well. A second thing that we can treasure, not only God's presence, but his providence. And providence is really moving beyond God being with us to God being for us. God being for us. It's God showing it up in all the little and big ways that we see throughout our life to keep moving forward the narrative of history that ultimately ends up in his glory. God's providence. If you think about Mary's situation, there are lots of different ways that God had shown up in her story to bring things together in the way that God wanted. I mean, it's me reflecting on the tree fiasco, all the little things that had taken place to ultimately benefit my good. Those are God's providence, the ways that God provides for us, the way that he protects us, the way that he holds us in his hand. I think Mary was reflecting and treasuring on the fact that she, even though she was holding little baby Jesus' hand, she was in God's hand the entire time. I think she treasured that. I think we should too. A third thing that I think Mary was treasuring was God's peace. God's peace. I mean, all the things that Mary had endured and through the circumstances of her life, I mean, it was traumatic. I mean, getting pregnant and not being intimate with your husband and having to deal with all the ridicule and seeing angels and here come the shepherds and all of these different things that would have left us all breathless and wondering and doubting in so many different ways. But at this moment, as she quiets herself, she's reflecting on all the ways that God has shown up, and she is filled with this resounding sense of peace that, you know, when you trust God, when you really put your trust in God, everything will be all right. We can trust him with the outcomes. And so as Mary treasures God's presence and providence and peace, I think we should be able to do the same this morning. We treasure, we ponder, we give God our full attention. And there's a second thing that I think it's important to note from the example of Mary, and it's this. The best time to ponder and to treasure and reflect isn't at the end, it's actually at the beginning. It's actually at the beginning. I mean, here it is, the last day of the 2023. If you were to start thinking back of all the ways that God had been present for you in 2023, you're not going to come up with many. I can't even remember all the Christmas gifts I received a week ago, okay? And from Mary's example, we realize that, no, the best time to reflect and to ponder and to treasure isn't at the end, it's at the very beginning. And Mary models it perfectly here. I mean, the shepherds had just left, and she finds this intentional time to just be with her son and to think about all that it means. Think that all that it means, because again, it's hard to remember what we don't think about. It's hard to be thankful for the things that we don't remember. So one of the ways that we want to be helpful to you in this to start 2024 well is to give you a way to remember well. And we're calling these things blessing jars. Think of them as a practical manifestation of the King family shared folder, okay? But it's just a jar that has some pieces of paper in it. We've got a table located out in the atrium where we're asking each family, you can pick up one. If for whatever reason we don't have enough, there's nothing special about the jar, okay? I promise. You can just find an intentional place that you can follow this rhythm. And the rhythm is this. At the beginning of the year, every single week, take some time to write out the ways that God has been present, that God has shown up, the way that God has, his providence has been manifested to you, all the ways that we want to count our blessings, naming them one by one. This jar is going to help us do that. You write those on those pieces of paper, you deposit them in the jar, and as a family, you don't wait till December 31st, 2024 to open it up. Instead, you look at it throughout the year, you pull those out, and you remind yourself of the ways that God has provided for you and protected and led you. And I would encourage you, grab a blessing jar before you leave today. Don't wait to the end. Follow Mary's example and start at the very beginning. Now, this isn't the only time that we see Mary pondering and treasuring and taking time to think deeply about things. There's another example in Luke chapter 2 that I want to take a look at as well. If you skip down a little bit further down in your Bible, we're going to pick it up in verse 41. We'll set the context. It's in the same chapter, but it actually takes place 12 years later. 12 years later. So if you've got your Bible, let's pick it back up in verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Here it is again, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Treasured them in her heart. I find this to be a fascinating passage. And the thing that sticks out to me more than anything else, it's not deeply theological, but it is this. Mary and Joseph lost the Son of God for 5 days. I don't want to be judgy, but like five days? And you may be wondering, like, Ryan, check your math on that. Well, they didn't realize that Jesus was gone until they had traveled a day. Okay, that's not good. Then they have to travel back a day. Then they have to search Jerusalem for 3 days. That's five total. Can you imagine all the worst case scenarios that are running through Mary and Joseph, or probably just Mary's mind? Okay, all the worst case scenarios. I mean, they would have been traveling as a big family group, so you'd have assumed that Jesus was with somebody, you know, with one of the cousins or something, but no, they can't find him. And as they're traveling back, can you, again, think about all the worst case scenarios. Can you imagine the blame game that's happening between Mary and Joseph? I thought you had him. They go back and they try to find him. I mean, anybody lost a kid? 5 minutes. 5 minutes feels like an eternity, let alone 5 days. I would like to say that I've never lost a child, but I can't lie before you this morning. My oldest, Conrad, he was somebody that when he was young, we described him as a runner. Anybody have any kids that were you would describe as a runner? That man, when they get into public spaces, there's something about it that they just want the joy and the wonder of just getting out and running is what they want to do. And that's how he was. Chalking up to us being new parents, I guess, but we were caught unawares, especially the first couple of times, and then we got smart. So when we would go to big department stores, first thing you'd look at when you walk in is does the store have automatic doors or doors that you have to push open? Because if they're automatic doors, then there's a better chance that he's going to end up in the parking lot if we don't watch him. Okay? I never lost a kid in the parking lot. I can admit to that. But there are many times in the department stores, man, we would lose him and we'd run up to the front. I don't know. You know, it's just part of being a parent, I suppose. And I think our son really picked it up when we were in Haiti, when we would spend time in the schoolyard after school. Catherine and I would be back there. We'd let him run around, be working on lesson plans. We would be with the kids. And there was one time in particular that actually scared me to death. And it was one of those times where I thought that my wife was watching him. She thought I was watching him. And sure enough, he headed down the sidewalk to the front gate. And I ran that way. He had actually gotten out of the gate before and ended up in the street in Haiti. He was okay then. But I show up there. He's not there. So then I proceed to go back to the school, look through the first level of the school. He's not there. I go upstairs to the second level. He's not there. There is no other classrooms. There is a third level, a stairwell that goes to the roof, where there was no parapet or wall. You could literally just walk off. But I wasn't worried about that because the gate is always locked and closed there. So as I'm walking through the upper part of the school, I'm not finding, I'm not sure where he would be. And then I see it. The gate's open. It's not locked. So I run up the stairs, and sure enough, my son is on the roof, 10 feet away from a 30-foot fall. And I try to stay calm and say, hey, buddy, what you doing up here? I go and he came to me. I came to him and picked him up. And in that moment, I was just grateful to have my son in my arms. I wasn't upset because in the end, he wasn't doing anything inherently bad. He was just enjoying being a young child, the wonder of just being a child and doing what you were made to do. And I wonder if that's not a helpful way to think about Jesus in this moment. So he's there celebrating the Passover, and he's now coming of age, and now he's in the temple, and he's hearing people talk about his heavenly Father. You wonder if the very thing that he is made for is coming to life in him, intimacy with his Father. He's hearing the story of his Father being told, and so he finds himself there, and he loses track of time. For 3 days, he loses track of time because he's so engrossed and so proximate with his Heavenly Father. And so I don't think he sinned in that moment, but his actions definitely challenged the expectation and his parents' understanding of what their son was all about. Yes, he was Emmanuel and was supposed to save the world, but in the end, he was their firstborn son. He was going to take up the family trade, family business. And they had expectations for him, but this was maybe one of the first moments that expectations didn't match reality. And I wonder if Mary and Joseph had a tough time after this point not putting their son in a box. This was the first time that they began to really think deeply about what did he come here to do? What kind of kingdom was he going to inaugurate? I think it was difficult for them not to put him in a box, something that we probably find difficult as well. We typically want to put God in a box. And so Mary, on their way back, they've collected Jesus. They're on their way back to Nazareth. She finds some time to walk by herself. And she gets alone and she begins to preserve the moment and think deeply about what all this means. And so as she's treasuring, again, God's presence and providence and peace, things we've already talked about, I think there's a fourth that she begins to really take to heart here. And it's God's preeminence, his preeminence. Preeminent just means surpassing all others. It's when something is more important or better than others. I think this is one. For Mary, it was one of those times where she started to understand that what Jesus had come to do was going to surpass her own expectations. It was going to be bigger than anything that she could understand. And we know that's true because you look later on in Scripture, in the Gospels, and Mary and Jesus' family confront Jesus at different times and say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And Jesus is having to redefine again what his kingdom and what his mission is all about. Because the plan of Jesus, the mission of Jesus surpasses all others, and it oftentimes, if we're honest with ourselves, it challenges our understanding of the kingdom. And if you've been reading your Bible all throughout this year, something we've been encouraging people to do, then you've seen example after example of people in the Bible that have struggled with God's preeminence. Not that they're not on God's side, but they ultimately want to take God's plan and kind of rework it into their what they think is best. They either want somebody different to be in charge, or they want it to look differently. They want it to be a physical kingdom, not a spiritual kingdom. It has to be for these people and not for these people. It started all the way at the beginning with Adam and Eve. When they started to redefine God's plan and they physically took it in their own hands, they couldn't wait for what God had in store for them. And that really hasn't stopped since. It really hasn't stopped since. For this upcoming year, an election year, I might add, my hope and my prayer for myself is that I can better acknowledge and understand and enjoy God's preeminence in my life. Because I need the mission of Jesus to surpass all others when it comes to my world. It's really easy for Ryan to want to say and go to run after things that I think are more important in the way that I think things should be done. And for this guy up here, is to put that to a side and reestablish God's preeminence. Maybe that's your prayer as well. Now, speaking about reading throughout the Bible in the entire year, that's something that we encouraged back on Sunday, January 1st, 2023. We said, hey, try to join us this year in reading throughout the entire Bible. Well, guess what? Today's December 31st. Today's the last day. Raise your hand if you're finishing up the Bible this year, if you walked through that. I see some hands. Thanks for doing that. That's a long journey. Okay, I've been on that with you. I've finished that as well. Congratulations to you on that. If you need an excuse for another donut, there you go. There it is. But I think it's fitting as we wrap up 2023, as we wrap up our Christmas sermon series and we wrap up our time together this morning, that we would ponder and reflect what we read in Revelation 22, the final chapter in the Bible. I love this because it really brings together God's presence and his providence and his peace and his preeminence all together, not necessarily looking back, but looking forward to what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. And he wipes away every tear and he begins to make all things new. So I want to read Revelation 22, the first five verses. Here's what it says. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation, for no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants, that's us, will serve him. This next part is one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. They, that's us, we will see his face. We will look Jesus in the face, in the eyes. And his name will be on our foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, will give us light, and we will reign with him forever and ever. If there is something that's worth pondering, if there's something worth thinking deeply about and treasuring, I think that would be it. At the conclusion of 2023, and as we look faithfully to what's going to happen in 2024, we know that Jesus has come and Jesus is coming again. See, pondering isn't something we rarely talk about, but it is something that we do. Actually, every time that we gather, we spend some time quieting ourselves and thinking deeply as we partake in the Lord's Supper. We give God our full attention when we do that, and we consider things like his presence and his providence and his peace and his preeminence. And every time that we partake in the Lord's Supper, we're surrendering anew to that little baby boy that was born to die. See, Jesus knew that we were forgetful people. And so that's why he spent some time instituting this thing called the Lord's Supper. He wanted to give us physical emblems that would remind us of his sacrifice, of his body that was broken, his blood that was shed. He knew that every time we gathered, we needed to go through this process because we're so prone to forget. We're so prone to move forward. And so don't miss the opportunity to meet God in this moment. He is patiently waiting for you in this moment to hear from you, to tell you how much he loves you. And so as we gather and as we go through this process, we think of Jesus, we ponder and we think deeply about him. So let me pray and then let's partake. Heavenly Father, we desperately need you. We are so quick to move on. And Father, we fall short so many times. And so we are just grateful that your son Jesus picks us back up each and every day. Your mercies are new. And you give us the opportunity to walk with you and to bring heaven and earth together again through your son and through the work that we get to do. We look backward, Father, at what your son did, and we look forward to what he is going to do again. And so, Father, as we partake, help us to remember, help us to think deeply, and help us to treasure your son, Jesus. And that's why we pray in his name. Amen.